Chapter 11. Sunday, October 21st to Tuesday, October 23rd.
Cooper. Sunday, 5:25 p.m. We've almost finished dinner when the phone rings and Pop takes the call. He gets annoyed because the police want us and my lawyer to go to the station now. My lawyer, she's called Mary, meets us there. I get very nervous when the detective asks me if I want my father in the room. "You might want this to be private," he says. Mary tells my dad she'll bring him in if he's needed. Pop's unhappy, but he doesn't argue. My heart is jumping when the detective opens a laptop. "You've always said that Simon's post about you wasn't true," he says. "And we haven't found any reason to disbelieve you. But," he adds, "it seems we missed something when we first looked through Simon's files. It's a file that we've just managed to open. It has another post that was replaced by the drug-taking accusation." He shows us his laptop screen. "I hear CC has hooked up with KS, a beautiful German. What guy wouldn't? Well, a lot of guys, in fact, because KS is a guy too. Maybe it's not a great move for Bayview's favorite baseball player." This is what I was afraid I'd see weeks ago. I hear Mary's voice telling me that I don't need to say anything. "Is this true?" asks the detective. Mary speaks before I can. "There's nothing criminal here. Cooper doesn't need to answer." "You know this is a problem," replies the detective. "It looks to us as if someone tried to remove this post and also made sure that Simon wasn't there to post it." I've thought about ways of telling my parents about Chris, but none of them are as terrible as this. Mary reminds the detective that the police mustn't make private information public. The detective wants Chris's number, and he wants to talk to Keeley, too. He leaves us, and I put my head in my hands. "Cooper," says Mary, "you need to talk to your father." "I can't." "Your father loves you," she says. I almost laugh. Pop loves Cooper, the baseball player, but he doesn't even know me. I refuse to talk to him as he drives us home. "Let's wait," I say when he asks me what's wrong. "Cooper's being mysterious," says Pop to Mom and Nani when we get back. They're sitting in the living room as if they've been waiting for us. "So, Coop," he says, "what's the problem?" "They have some new information." Mom says, "What kind of new information?" "They found an unpublished post on Simon's site. I guess it's what Simon was planning to post about me. It wasn't about drug taking." "So the police know it wasn't you now," says Pop. Nani says, "What was Simon going to post about you?" "Well, a couple of words are going to make everything in my life before and after. I can't look at my parents, so I speak to Nani. Simon found out that—" I can't speak any more slowly, and I have to say it. "I'm gay." Pop laughs, and Nani says angrily, "Cooper's not joking." "Of course he is," Pop says. "Right?" I look at his face, sure that he'll never look at me again the way he always has. Wrong, I tell him.
Addie, Monday, 8:45 a.m. and Tuesday, 12:15 p.m. There are police cars at school again, and as I go in, I see Cooper looking terrible. Can we talk? He says. What's wrong? I think the police are here to ask questions about me, and I want to tell somebody why first. I put my hand on his arm, and I can feel it shaking. What's wrong? I ask again. For a moment, I wonder if he's going to tell me he killed Simon. But I see tears in his eyes and his kind face, and immediately realize it isn't that. It's all right, Cooper, I say. You can tell me. I'm gay. Oh, I say. Then realizing I should say something more. Cool. He tells me Simon found out he was seeing a guy, and he was going to post about it on About That. And that someone published the other post instead, about him taking drugs. The police think I killed Simon, he says. So they're checking on me a lot now. Soon the whole school will know. So I just wanted to tell somebody myself. Cooper, no one will care, I say. But we both know that isn't true. The police start interviewing students again. At first, things are quiet. But by the middle of Tuesday morning, the whispers have started. At lunchtime in the cafeteria, everyone is waiting for Cooper. When he arrives, everything goes quiet. Then a voice shouts, Cooper Clay, is Cooper gay? There's laughter and shouting, but a lot of people look shocked and nervous. Cooper looks as if he can't move. Oh, for God's sake! It's Nate, who has been behind Cooper in the doorway. I've never seen him in the cafeteria before. Do you losers seriously care about this? Boyfriend, shouts a girl's voice, and I see everyone around Vanessa start laughing again. Nate immediately says, You, do you really have something to say? I don't even know your name, and you were trying to hook up with me last time we were at a party. In fact, if there's a guy at Bayview you haven't tried to hook up with, I'd love to meet him. Me, calls a boy from the techie geeks table. There's more laughter, and this time, people aren't laughing at Cooper. Vanessa is just sitting there with her mouth open. Okay, Nate says to her. Go and hook up with him. And shut up. Nate comes across to our table and drops his backpack next to Bronwyn. She stands up, wraps her arms around his neck, and kisses him like they're alone. Everyone in the cafeteria shouts and stares. Cooper has been forgotten.